Streaming live
across the globe
from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Star Worldwide Network.
Hi.
Hey.
You are listening to
Business Unplugged with your host, Paul Konitz.
Video is everywhere. It's on your computer, your smartphone, your tablet. Chances are you're watching it right now. Today, we have guest Will Rogers with us from C2 Pro Media. The big thing that video is becoming an essential part of every marketing plan. It's easy. It's accessible. It's a significant part of business if it's done right. Today, Will's going to talk to us about how we could better understand video. He's going to give us some tricks and tips, and it's going to be fun to have Will on the show. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Paul.
Hey, it's no problem. You know, you and I have a lot of discussions about marketing and how video should be used and not used, and we agree on a lot of it. And I thought, what better way to, have other people learn from our conversations? We should just record our conversations.
Yeah, we should. We should record our phone conversations. They get pretty interesting at times.
And they go on. I lose track. So thought, the podcast would be a good spot for that, for Avi to come on. So tell me a little about yourself. You know, where do we start? How do you get into this video world?
Oh, man. For me personally, it was more of just, I don't know, like you're unhappy with what you're doing in life. I was 39 and, I had a little logistics company. I was making money, right? Providing for your family. But every day when I woke up, I just wasn't happy. My family's great. Kids are great. There was no reason for me to be unhappy. So I started evaluating my life and figuring out, what was making me so unhappy. And at the end of the day, it just came out to be what I was doing for a living. I wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilled, I guess would be the word. And call it a midlife crisis or whatever you want to call it. At 39, I just, I said, you know what? I'm just going to go and do what I want to do for a living. And I had done photography as a hobby. I was in the Air Force prior to being in logistics and done photography as a hobby. So I knew the basics, right? So I thought, hey, I can go shoot video. decided to shut my logistics company down and tell my family, hey, I'm going to go make videos for a living. And I didn't even have a decent camera or any equipment at the time. It was all just a pipe dream. And everybody thought I was crazy. But when you truly love something and you finally take that step to, I guess the hardest part in chasing your dreams is taking that first step, right? Everybody's scared. And I was all out of give a damn. At that point, it was like, what do I got to lose at this point? So I just went for it. And, it's kind of been a slow process. The learning was a fast process. I felt like I was behind the eight ball. And so I just ate, slept, and I've breathed this for the last, 5 years. I was competing with people that have been doing this 20, 30 years. So I just made sure that I studied and learned as much as possible over the last 5 years, whether it be video side. Now it's going into the marketing side and with you. But just this business as a whole is so interesting, and there's so many avenues to pursue. I just fell in love with it. Stopped watching sports, just cut everything out of my life except video. Everywhere you saw me, I had a camera in my hand and I was trying to learn something.
Well, you have a social media channel, and I laugh because I was watching the one the other day with your pug just barking in the background. You do a great job. I mean, you're starting to embrace the whole social media thing. The video looks outstanding. I'll be honest with you. Everything that you do with video looks great. We've had some mutual clients together. The video you've done for them has been, I mean, you couldn't tell if it was somebody that's a professional for 20 years or if somebody, you do a great job. So that's a testament to it. But you mentioned something there, which is important. And we're going to touch on that a little bit later, that question of the marketing side of it, which is critical because you can make it all the videos you want. People can't see it. What
Correct.
Good is it, right? But I want to talk a little bit about kind of the entrepreneurship. Now, you talked about that too. You spoke, you're like, hey, I took the jump, and that's an entrepreneur thing to do. I mean, man, I did that when I was 15. I was like, I'm not going to work for anybody. And I just took the plunge into, I was doing video at the time and doing stuff at a local cable access company. And I started doing things for business, right? It's kind of the birth of Gazoom was back then. So it was, it's a hard thing to swallow and to explain people, right?
I mean, yeah, it is. It really is. you know, the key for me to take that leap, like, right? Everybody's always like, oh, I, you know, when I save this much money, then I'm going to do this. Right. Or, you know, even marriage. Hey, you know what? I'm going to finish college and do this, and then we'll get married. You know, it's no different with just taking that leap of faith. But it for me, it just, I learned a lot before I took that leap. A lot of things happened in my life over the 4 years prior that made me really do a lot of self-reflection. Made me learn more about. I learned more about myself from the time I was 35 to 39 than I had any time in my life. And what it was being honest with myself, you know, and starting to be honest with everybody around me too. But being honest with yourself and coming to terms with who you are and what you are, and then taking your best assets, right? It might even be things that people consider negative, like I talk too much or whatever, you know, that helps me sell my company now, you know, I can go out and sell my company to anybody, but just a lot of self-reflection and coming to terms with what I wanted out of life and being honest with myself and then realizing that we only live once. I know that's so cliche to say, but I think at some point you start looking back on your life and going, what have I done? You know, where am I going? I didn't even know where I was going to be at 39. If you asked me, hey, where are you going to be in 5 years? I had no clue at that time.
Right. That's always a tough question.
Oh, yeah. And then you kind of finally figure it out and it clicks. And then when you're so passionate about something and you love it so much, it's almost like you become good at it and you don't even realize it, you know?
And you're putting the hours and the time in it to study it and really kind of, and look, you got top of the line equipment. You've got that eye for it. So it works pretty well. I'm going to ask you a tough question here. It's been an easy question so far.
Okay.
But tell me about a time in life that you failed and how'd you recoup from that? Because that's the true testament, right? I always say you could tell a good boxer by the time they get knocked in the chin and they get back up after that, right? So how'd that work? And that's entrepreneurship.
So I guess the most recent failure, you do things like, for instance, with video, there are certain jobs that you just won't take, right? Or I wouldn't take in the beginning because I was nervous. I didn't know how to do it. I think, so when you're first breaking into this, you shoot anything, right? You just got to build a portfolio up. So weddings was probably one of the easiest areas to break into, is shooting somebody's weddings and to make a little bit of money, you know, at first too. But I quickly realized there's a lot of technical aspects to capturing somebody's, that one perfect day for them, right? You've got audio, you've got just framing, and like, you can't be in two spots at one time. And so how do you figure all this out? So I'd say the first couple of weddings, and I apologize to those clients that are out there right now, but those first couple of weddings that I shot, you know, I look back on them and this is part of getting better too. Right. I look back on them and immediately could go, God, you know, I screwed up so bad there. Like, oh, and then in editing, right? So hold on, let me back up. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So there was a lot of aspects that I was nervous about with shooting weddings, and I failed a lot in the beginning. And you learn from those mistakes. And I think that's critical in growing any business or any relationship or anything, is you take the mistakes you made, recognize them, and you learn from them, right? And so I use those mistakes and those failures to, you know, it comes being honest with you, say, hey, I failed here. So how do I get better, right? So you start, I call it YouTube University in the beginning, right? There's everything on YouTube. So I would sit there and go, okay, how do I get this sound right? How do I record audio at a wedding and get it perfect? How do I, you know, how many cameras do I need to really capture that wedding day? You know, what angles do I use? And so I went from absolutely hating weddings, not wanting to take them, but taking them because of the money, to now I absolutely love them and they're like a hobby. You know, now they're a hobby. I make good money at them, they're a hobby, and I could do them in my sleep. So, you know, it was taking those, not being scared to keep going, right?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in if I have the fear of doing something, the best way to overcome that fear is to learn everything about it and face it head on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's always a solution to every problem. And if you want it bad enough, you can figure it out.
Yeah, and there was one video I saw that you had put on. It was almost like a opening to a movie. It was for a wedding.
Yeah, it was the last wedding I shot.
That was unreal.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That was very cool.
I call them wedding movies now. I'm actually in the process of finishing up that full wedding video right now, and I try to think outside the box. I don't want to be normal, right? Yeah. I want to give people something that when they look back on it 20 years from now, they're just like, holy cow. you know, and creating those wedding videos. I want them, the what I want to invoke with the sound and the audio and the visuals is I want them to be able to relive their entire wedding day, no matter if it's 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years down the line. When they watch that video by C2 Pro Media, that they can remember it like it was yesterday.
And it's a good segue to, you know, tell me about C2 Pro Media. So we talked about kind of you leaving the logistics, you jumping into this and creating this. Now, what happens with C2? How does this get started? And what's your, you know, where are you taking this?
So initially, getting into the video world, you don't know what your avenue is, right? I shot everything from car videos to weddings to quinceañeras to just shooting family members at parties. Okay. Like you literally, there was not a time I had a camera in my hand. And you're trying to figure out what your niche is, right? And then when you find out what your niche is and what you're really good at, that's what you should go for. And so, like I said, I shot all kinds of stuff. And then I'd say about a year and a half ago, I shot some commercials and ads for a jewelry company up in Anthem, Andrew Z's. Shout out to Scott. That's my business partner. He's the owner of Andrew Z's. The guy's changed my life. But I walked in there just to say, hey, he was an old friend. And he said, hey, I've seen your work. I've seen what you've been doing. You know, we should shoot something sometime. And I'm just like, yeah, of course, you know, so forth and so on. And I get home and I get a text from him. And he's like, I'm so glad you walked in here today. He goes, I've been thinking about shooting content and ads and so forth and so on. So make a long story short, we lined it up. Shot the first ad for him. It was estate buys. He buys jewelry estates, right? And I think the numbers were in the first. So he, you know, you and I talk about you got to spend money to make money. So he understands the ad spend portion of marketing. So we shot the ad. He ran the ad. I think he spent about $3,600 on the ad and turned around and in a week did 70 grand in estate sales. And that's when it really clicked. That's where I found my niche. I was like, huh, I can make money. I can make other people money, right?
Right.
I enjoy the commercial and ads spot, the creative side of coming up with the ideas of how to shoot these. And I make myself an asset to these companies at the same time. And so we shot another one, jewelry upgrades, right? Diamond upgrades. And he ran an ad on it. And don't quote me on this, but I think he did about 40 or 50 grand in a week on diamond upgrades just from running those ads. And then we're like, huh, let's try this again. So jewelry repairs, right? And after running the ad for a week, he had to shut the ad off because they were booked 5 weeks out. And that's where it kind of clicked. And that was the birth of the real C2 Pro Media. I knew then that that's the avenue I wanted to pursue. I wanted to take C2 Pro Media and make them a one-stop shop for commercials, ads, marketing. That's how I met you. Yep. And just kind of give companies, especially these medium to small size businesses that don't have a large budget, an avenue to where they can create video medium at a reasonable price and not have to worry about it all. We do everything for you. And that's the goal of the company. We're still, you know, we're in a growing stage right now. I mean, we're growing kind of rapidly and it's been overwhelming from a business standpoint, but I think that's a good problem to have. And I'm just going to say one more thing. I'm kind of rambling on here, but the one thing that I've learned in this whole process, because I wasn't a business person when I jumped into this, right? But the one thing I learned, and I had a guy, a friend of mine, Templeton Walker, he told me, and he sent me a book to read because I reached out to him, like, how did you grow your company so big? Like, how did you do this? And he said, it's not how you do it. It's who you get to help, like building a team around you. It's who you need. And great, so he sent me a book, Who Not How, right? And that's when it really clicked that it's all about who you surround yourself with and building a good team and people you can trust because you can't do it all. I can't do it all. I'm right. Not a one-man team. You know, yeah. I was for the longest time, but it's impossible if you want to scale. So
that is absolutely great advice. Yeah, if you look at the people that are successful, it's never these, you know, doing it all by themselves. They're going to need to put good people, surround themselves with good people in order to make that happen. So great advice there. So you can tell them that's good. And we'll check that book out too. So we do book reviews on the show. So I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, it's a good book.
That's a good one. I like it. So talk to me about your ideal client. So we talked about a lot of different clients that you could put together, but tell me about the client and, you know, tell me about the strategy behind the video too, right? It's just not about doing videos. It's about getting them business. So
correct.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, the strategy that I take behind video is, let's say client A approaches me and say they're a gym, right? You and I have experience with that.
We do.
So say it's a gym. And first thing I want to do is I want to understand what their gym's about. I want to understand who they are, what their culture is. And I mean, everything's a product or a service that you're selling, right? Regardless. So I guess understanding the client and what they do and their service or their product is key to me being able to create, because a lot of times I do create these videos. I am storyboarding them. I am coming up with the ideas. So it helps me better create the video, because the point of video is not just to look cool, right? The point of video is to target a specific audience, right? And you have to, the key thing is people want something they can relate to, right? They want, if it's a gym, right? Yeah. You know, hey, you having trouble losing weight, those last couple of pounds, you know, you just gotta, you're speaking to people through video, and you're speaking to them, trying to relate. You give them, everybody has a problem, right? So let's say it's a gym. The problem would be you're out of shape and overweight, or you're not fit, or you can't play with your kids. So you kind of address those issues in a very subtle way in the video medium, to you provide them like, hey, we know you have this problem, but here's the solution. And then here's how you obtain that solution. And that's pretty much the formula with ads that I create, all catered specifically, of course, to that specific business. But it's understanding your target audience and speaking to them in a relatable way and doing that through video.
Right. And also, I think, and we spoke about this, is that differentiating factor, right? So if a business is business A and business B are the same, and business A is saying, you know, tell me what's different about your business, say it's a gym. Well, we're a gym. We just, you know, lift weights and we have classes. And gym B is the same. Then the only way a client could make the decision of who to go to is by price, right?
Correct.
And that's what we're trying to do, is eliminate that.
Correct.
So, and you do a great job with that, is taking those differentiating factors and kind of spelling them out throughout the video. So people are like, yeah, that's exactly who I want to go to. Because a lot of these videos, if we look at the analytics on them, are watched on, say, YouTube or Facebook or some of these social media platforms at night. You know, one in the morning, in the morning. It's crazy.
You got to think about it, though. Like, I mean, come on. If we're being real, like, when I wake up every morning, first thing I do is grab my phone. Unfortunately, that is the case, right? Checking emails, social media, whatever it may be, right? And then, you know, around lunchtime, you sit down to eat your food. If you're eating by yourself, you grab your phone and start scrolling. And the same thing, at most people lay in bed at night scrolling on their phone. So, yeah, there's... That is definitely the case. Yeah,
and TVs are becoming more of that as well. So as you could browse the apps on the TV, I mean, TV is basically a giant smartphone for all intent and purposes now. And that streaming video is content you could provide. Connected TV is a perfect example. Videos that you shoot, 30 seconds, you know, 45 second videos, could now be turned into a commercial.
Yes. Right?
And actually targeted, we call this connected TV or programmatic for people that are listening, that they could actually take a video that Will does and say, I want to serve this to my demographic. And this is the things we do at Gazoom, just kind of putting that together. But it's amazing if you have the right content, right? If you don't have that video, you can't do that.
Yeah, correct.
We could say, listen, I want to target, you know, Scottsdale Road at between 5 and 9 o'clock at night and serve an ad to people that are watching on streaming. It's crazy, right?
Yep.
So it's pretty impressive where this is all going.
It is. And, you know, the one thing that for small and medium sized businesses, especially nowadays, you don't have to have a huge budget to market yourself properly. Sure. And a lot of people still don't understand that. You know, they still think of ads and commercials as, oh, I've got to hire a huge production company and I've got to spend, you know, $60,000 to shoot a commercial. Yeah. And that's just not the case anymore. And that's, I guess that's another thing that I'm trying to get out there too, is it is possible for any company out there now to market themselves, and you don't need $1 million to do it, you know?
It's absolutely true. I mean, ad spend alone has come down considerably. The fact that you've systematized your process helps with that as well. So you're right. You don't have to go into it $100,000 and say, okay, this is going to be my production budget, my ad spend budget. You could really break it up over a period of 6 months to a year, because it's all about consistency, is getting that message out consistent every month. Like, people will come to us and say, you know, should I spend $10,000 all at once, or should I, because I need business right away? And it's what you should do is spend $1,500 consistently over 6 months, or 2,000 or whatever the budget is that makes sense for who you want to target. Put that over time, and that's the way it's done. So
yeah.
It's
long. Yeah, and you and I have had many discussions about that, and you've actually taught me a lot, if not most of the stuff I know about marketing now. So, and one of the things that is key is like you just said, not dropping 10 grand at one time, but taking that 1500 a month over 6 months and building up. How did you tell me what? You're building up your, help me out here, Paul.
I'm trying to remember.
We go
nuts on our conversations.
Yeah, we do go nuts on our conversations.
I'm trying to have a drop of alcohol in this.
In my head, I know what you said and I can picture it, but it's like, I can't articulate it like you did, but it's, it takes time for the systems that you have in place to build up the analytics in order to fine tune that ad. So you have to let it run for 6 months or a year, especially to build up your for you to have enough data to be able to really fine tune and target that business's specific audience. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that what
you're absolutely right. I mean, what happens is that there's intent of the buyer, right? So what happens is, and I'll give you an example with, people that are buying or looking for, say, travel. So somebody decides they want to come to Arizona, but they haven't really decided yet. So they go into Google and they start their search for travel. Well, we're looking at that, right? We're looking at that type of client saying, okay, we're going to get them now before they learn to say, hey, why don't you come to Arizona? Here's the things that we could offer you. And then while they decide, wow, Arizona sounds good, right? And then boom, now they become a bigger target for us.
Yeah.
Then they land here. Well, now, geographically, we know where they are. They're in town. Now we got to get them with restaurants, and we got to serve them the content that we want to serve them. And then when they leave, we're targeting with, hey, come back and see us again, right? So the machine learning, the things that we do with that over time, we serve them ads every step of the way and the intent of the buyer. You know, Google is such a powerful – we talk about social media, and we say, you know, it's such a big, you know, portion of what we look at day in and day out. But really, the behemoth is Google. Right. Google has so much data and they have so far reaching abilities of there's a study that says that a woman was Googling and just through her search, Google knew that she was pregnant. I mean, it's just through how she searched, they were able to make this decision. This is how smart these systems are coming in play. So they're going to know things before you even know it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And a lot has to do with, I mean, it's your phone, it's your maps, everything is interconnected. I think, right? They know how fast you drive. How important is that data to, say, Progressive to know that, hey, you know, I was 10 miles over. Oh, we got speeders over here. Let's get the group of speeders and send them insurance ads, right?
Yep.
Or legal ads or, you know, so you could really hone in. And all that information you were just talking about is put into a hopper. And then that's how we start deciding who we're going to target. So tell me a little bit about some of the future clients that you have coming in and some of the ideas you have for the podcast. I know you were mentioning a few of them the other day, and I'd like to kind of put those out there and keep our eye out for them.
Yeah. So we just landed one of the largest garage door companies in the United States, just a small portion of their business, creating commercial ads for them. And we have the first commercial shoot planned for this Thursday. But the plan is to go in, show them what we can do. And you know, of course you want to land each client long-term, you want to provide long-term value to them. So we've got that in the pipeline. I work with several real estate companies here in the Valley. So we've, shout out Sakala Group, one of my Shelly Sakala, she's amazing. She's taught me a lot about video too. She was in, the news for 20 years for ABC. So, but it's, you know, we shoot a lot of her commercial and ad space, try to make it funny and inviting. So we've got her, still shooting for Andrew Z's up in Anthem right now. A lot of commercial. We've got actually a marketing campaign we're coming out. Right now it's termed the Big Ass Diamond Club, but we're not sure if we're going to stick with that name yet. And then a lot of smaller projects throughout the Valley. But going back to the business side, one of the things that I'm having to learn, you know, like we talked about the who, not how, is like, I can't do it all by myself. So the one thing I'm having to learn now is I'm interviewing editors and videographers and trying to build a team. The difficulty or the bumps in the road right now is, you know, you have a standard that you set for your company, right? So when you're interviewing editors and videographers, you want them to have somewhat of the same eye, somewhat of the same editing skills, right? Because you can still teach. And I love teaching too, but it's that brand image that you want to keep up. Your clients expect a certain level and a certain quality, and you've got to hire the people around you. And in the day and age we live in right now, it's hard to find people, A, that want to work, and B, that do quality work and take their craft as serious as I do, I guess. And I kind of expect that from the people that work with us and work for us. But yeah, so
that's always a challenge.
It's and I'm kind of all over the place here. Maybe I didn't answer
exactly. You hit it. But you touched on an important point. You are a perfectionist. I've seen the work that you do, and I've been part of the shoots and things that you've done, and you've done a great job with. But it's a tough gig when you're doing it, and then you say, I know what I do in my business, and I expect the same from other people, and that's the tough part right now.
It's hard to let go.
That is probably one of the biggest. You talk about my failures. That I can tell you right now, that's been a failure of mine, right? Because you start micromanaging, and then people are like, "Oh my God, this guy's a jerk." And it's not because of it. I just expect it to be done this way because I know what the clients expect from us.
Yep.
But over the years, I've gotten better with that. I don't know, maybe it's age. The gray hair settles in, and I'm like, I'm not going to do it anymore. But it's you still have that intensity. You just got to back off a little bit from it, right? That's kind of the hardest part.
And that is the hardest part. I mean, the funny thing is, you'll get clients every once in a while that, just like I do, they want what they want, right? Yeah. So not that they're unhappy with the work we do, but they might a little tweak here, a little tweak there, and it turns into 20 little tweaks or whatever. But you do what they want, and right, you give them what they need. And then now outsourcing with some of the editing that we do, I find myself in those shoes of the customers. The guy sends me a video back, my editor sends me a video back, and I'm tearing it apart. Like, right, hey, look, no, you need to do this. Right. And at the end of the day, though, it's their creative eye, right? It's not like the video's terrible. It's great. It's just not how I would do it, but that's not how it works.
Right.
If I'm going to grow and scale this company, I have to learn to let go and that's part of the process.
And that's it. I mean, systems and processes are important, and let them kind of be creative on their own, and away you go. I mean, I deal with web design for years, right? The cool thing is that when you start knowing your client and you really start getting into the almost like business coaching or mentorship with clients and kind of really know their business, you know what they'll settle for and what they won't. You'll be like, yeah, I get it. I know what they want. And then you could save a lot of time and effort by sending it to the client, and the client saying no, and then coming back to you, right? If you could say, you know what, here's what I see, list, bullet point, bang it out, hit it back, that's what I want, then it goes back to the client. That's my life, by the way, right now. I mean, it's like, we see that with ads, we see that with everything but it's, it's setting that standard, and that's what's going to be your differentiating factor, right? Where some places will allow that, you could rest assured Will's not going to allow that, and he's always going to fight for it.
Yeah, I'm somewhat of a perfectionist to a fault. So,
well, you do a great job. Now, you're on a few social media channels, right?
Tell us a little bit about that. I don't really push social media that hard. My Instagram is Will to Shoot, but if you go to it, it's more of me just cutting up and having fun to break up the monotony of the business, right? Because I'm always working. So I'll come up with these really silly ideas or these trends. And yes, I am older, but it's fun to create these reels that are out there now. It's an outlet for my creativeness. And my Instagram is just a bunch of goofy stuff. We're in the process of building out the website with you.
Yep.
Coming up with a marketing campaign to really go out there, because marketing is key, like we always talk about.
It is.
I
don't think you'll have a problem getting your message out there. I mean, you do some cool stuff. You have the pug, right? Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I have two pugs, Panchita and Sandy, and they run the house. Like, they legitimately run our house.
I recently got a puppy, an English bulldog, and she's running the house right now.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
Everything's around her.
I think my fiance loves the dogs more than she does me at times. So.
You know, that's okay, I guess. That's the way it is. I also saw one that you were making a sandwich out of the
God,
that was good.
You know, I saw, I kind of got the idea. I saw somebody on social media kind of do it in a way, and I was like, you know what, I could do that better. And it's kind of funny. Like, it made me laugh, right? So just a wild hair, just really quickly, you know, this career field is probably one of the most expensive career fields you could choose to be in, besides race car driving, like Robin mentioned earlier. But it takes a lot of money. Once you get deep into it, you realize I need this and I need that and I need this. And it gets really expensive really quick. So, yeah, I made a silly little reels of making a sandwich out of my lenses. Like, you know, hey, I'm so broke, I got to eat these things now. So,
you know, one of my hardest problems with video, and this has been over the years, has been lighting. So the fact that if you could get lighting right, to me is
God,
within your, that's like a trade within itself.
It is. And, you know, when I first started shooting video, like I said, I taught myself how to do everything. And, you know, one of the first things that I taught, lighting sets the mood, you know, and video is all about the mood. If you're trying to tell a story, you want it to, you want people to feel it, right? It's like, almost like you want people to use all their senses when they're watching your video. And that's why sound and framing and, you know, lighting and color grading and all that comes into play. But with lighting, what I did initially was, because lighting was really hard for me to figure out. That was something I didn't have an eye for originally. So I took a job with a photography studio and learned lighting from their photographers that had been there for 20 years. And the lighting kind of translates the same, video and photo. It's a little different, but the basics are the same. And so I did that $13 an hour job while trying to get my videography, my production company off the ground, but I needed to learn it, right? And I wasn't getting what I needed off YouTube. So I took a little job for 6 months at a photography studio to learn lighting. You know, lighting is key and it's hard, but learning sound design is a lot harder. And you really have to pay attention to the video you're creating in order to, you know, build the sound out. And then there's color grading, you know, I mean, I could go on and on. I could talk forever about this, but there's just so many aspects to it. But yeah, lighting is,
well, it's just not about pointing, clicking and getting something going. And I think, you know, people sometimes balk at prices that are charged and they're like, oh, isn't that expensive? Do you want me to explain what's into it? Because it's a book.
Yeah,
right,
go ahead.
Of what's into it. I mean, it won't look right. It won't sound right. Again, lighting, sound, you know, the equipment you're using. This all puts into the hopper of how much this is going to be. And forget the experience.
Not only also the time of learning your business. Because I learn every client, I learn their business. I have to. Have to in order to give them the best product possible. So, yeah,
And that's a differentiating factor for you, because you'll find a lot of people, they'll go and they'll look up something on the internet, they'll get it, and that's the way they go, and that's the video.
Yep.
That's not you. I mean, you immerse yourself in understanding what's going on.
It goes back to being different too, though, right? So, like, let's go back to gyms just for the sake of it. You got gym A and gym B, right? They're in the same area. I want to research your competition as well.
Right.
I want to see what separates you from them, and then I want to fine tune that and point that out in the videos and just push that home, right? Because there's a million gyms in Phoenix, right? What separates you? What makes you different? Why is somebody A going to come to your gym over this gym, or how are you going to get clients that are going to gyms A, B, and C to come to yours? You know, at the end of the day, it's all business.
Yep.
And my job is to try to get you the most clients possible. So in order to do that, even with video medium, I need to understand your competition as well.
Listen, that's one of the main reasons why you and I click, that you get it. A lot of people don't understand that. It's very important that you really challenge yourself to find what the differentiating factors are. And once you do that, expose them, right?
Yeah.
And you know what
it's all business.
You want to, right, dominate the marketplace. And how are you going to do it if you don't have anything that's any different than anybody else?
Correct.
So you do a great job at it, man. So how do people get a hold of you?
You can reach out to me at william@c2promedia.com.
Okay.
That's my email address. When we get the website up, they can go to the website.
That's right. That's
so coming soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
But,
that's
and then, I mean, you can go to my Instagram. There's really not You're not going to see a lot of my commercial work.
We'll put the links there. On social media.
It's at Will to Shoot. Okay. So don't judge my work based off my Instagram.
Please. They're actually very funny and very cool. And I enjoy waking up and seeing them every side. I know you've been shooting when they're 2 o'clock in the morning and releasing.
Yeah, dude,
social media.
I'll get a wild hair up my butt and I'll be up at 2 a.m. shooting the most goofy stuff. And the whole house is asleep. You know,
it's kind of keep funny. The pugs quiet. So
yeah, that is. Hey, man, they always get going when the camera comes on, they come to life.
They know. Right. All right. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. You know, you could find videos all over the internet. YouTube, Facebook, traditional TV now, mobile apps. The fact is, video makes up 3 billion hours on the internet each month. So it's more than half the internet traffic, I believe, is what I read at the last count. Also keep in mind, people buy from people they like. Video is a great way to build on that, your differentiating factors, and you could do it fast. If you want more information, reach out to Will at C2 Pro Media and get your business message up on video. Up next, we're going to be discussing the book Made in America. That's Cecilia Walmart. I love that book.
Are you looking to target, drive, and track more customers, both online and offline? Need a smarter, ROI-focused digital strategy? Not sure if your current strategy is working? Gazoom can help. Schedule a strategy session today. Visit gazoom.com and let's make a plan.
Each week, we take a look at the world's most popular books, including New York Times bestsellers, universally recommended titles, in categories like management, leadership, entrepreneurship, finance, success, and communication. In today's book, we're talking about Made in America, written by Sam Walton. Now, if you haven't read the book, I highly recommend it to anyone who loves business, adversity, critical thinking, and challenges. If you don't know who Sam Walton is, he's the founder of Walmart. Sam lays out how he had a vision to take his superstores and discounting to rural America, a spot where Sam felt Kmart, Sears, and Woolworth were really missing the boat. Made in America was published in 1992, the same year that Sam Walton died at the age of 74. The book talks about strategies, management principles that led to his overwhelming success over the competition. You know, love it or hate it, Walmart is a great story. From Sam's philosophy on lower pricing to generate sales, having a unique variety of merchandise in the store, to his crazy promotions to drive foot traffic. Oh, and the night that he spent in Brazilian jail. Definitely, they were much different times back then. But his out-of-the-box management principles, like learning from the competition, frugality, servant leadership, are definitely something we could all learn from. Now, if you're interested in finding out more about the book, but you don't have time to read the whole book, or you've read the book and need a quick summary, I would recommend shortform.com. Now, they're not sponsoring the show in any way. They're just a company I found online that I love. It's by far my most favorite way to read summaries of books. With Made in America, I had originally read the book years ago while I was on vacation. But with Shortform, I was able to revisit it and actually learn a bit more. The things that I like about Shortform are they're super detailed. So you get the book's key points at a deeper level. They have interactive exercises to help you apply the ideas you just learned so you don't forget them like I do when I read a book. They also have smart insights like connecting one author, what they think about another author. You'll end up with a much better understanding of the book, and you could build awesome connection between the ideas. Sam Walton, Made in America, was a great read, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Oh, by the way, Shortform was kind enough to set up a special offer for our listeners. By joining through the link, shortform.com/unplugged, you'll receive 5 days of unlimited access and an additional 20% discounted annual subscription. If you're a business owner, CEO, or founder of a company and would love to share your story, reach out and let's have a conversation to see if being a guest on the Business Unplugged podcast makes sense. Visit gizoom.com, that's G-I-Z-O-O-M.com. Click on podcast for more information. I look forward to hearing from you. If you want advice on a particular marketing subject, reach out to us at gizoom.com, that's G-I-Z-O-O-M.com. Click on podcast and fill out the contact form and ask your question. Your question will be featured in the Round One Marketing segment of the show. Thanks for listening to the Business Podcast. And if you like the show, please rate us where you download your podcast and share the show with your friends. It really does help.